Would the members please indicate their presence by voting? Madam Clerk.
Roll shows 23 members present.
We have a quorum, Madam Majority Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, may the record reflect that Representatives Fate, Foster, Green, and Ogun have been previously excused from the call of the House today.
Those members will be shown as excused. Leading again the invocation today is Pastor Robert Sherwood of the Church of the Nazarene. Would members please rise for the invocation?
Father God, protect these, your children. Let them know that in their hearts and their busy lives, that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. May these say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, in whom I will trust. Surely God will deliver from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. May God cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust. His truth will be your shield and buckler. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the bullet that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Father, let these, our elected representatives, have wisdom through understanding different paradigms and perspectives. May they secure the people's investment by not letting unmarked vehicles park so close to the building of either houses and so close to the speakers. May they guard the rear doors to this place, that we might keep our representative and our form of government. Might they consider that even vehicles that park so close to the governor's house might not be good for the state. And now, Father, for these people who we have trusted so much in, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with each of them this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Representative Coghill, would you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Benson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread across the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 87th legislative day.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journal, as certified by the Chief Clerk, be approved.
Without objection, the journal has been certified. Do we have guests this morning for introduction? Seeing none, do we have messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have messages from the other body?
A message dated April 10 stating the Senate has passed committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 44, resources amended with the following amendments. Senate CS for CS for House Joint Resolution number 44, amended, Senate, and re-engrossed. And it is returned for consideration. Messages dated April 10th stating the Senate has passed and is transmitting for consideration. CS for Senate Bill number 140, financed by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Regulation and Licensing of Certain Water Power Development Projects and Providing for an Effective Date.
That will be referred to Resources and Finance.
Senate Bill number 269 by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Naming Bridge Number 1121 Across the Knik River, the Sergeant James Bonsteel Bridge of Honor, and providing for an effective date.
To the Rules Committee.
Senate Bill Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 274, Labor and Commerce, by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Issuance of a Locum Tenens Permit for a Physician or Osteopath, and providing for an effective date.
To the Labor and Commerce Committee.
Senate Bill number 356, amended by the Senate State Affairs Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Authority of the Department of Environmental Conservation to Issue General and Individual Permits for Waste Disposal and Providing for an Effective Date.
To the Resources Committee.
Those are all the messages from the other body, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have communications?
Mr. Speaker.
Communications today.
Madam Majority Leader.
I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider the Senate Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 44, and the member from District 25 will explain the changes made by the other body.
Okay, prior to that, could we have a brief of these? Would the House please come back to order? Motion before the body is to go into the limbo file to consider HJR 44. For the record, I wanted to inform the body. I misspoke yesterday. My understanding of what the other body had inadvertently done was almost correct. They didn't want to take out the amendment that they put in. They wanted to put it in the proper place. So we now have before us that. In any event, without objection, we'll go into the limbo file, and the member from
District 25.
District 25 will explain the changes.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. What we have before us, I believe, is the R version. Anyways, what happened was that on page 4, line 22 of our document, they took out the whereas that said, whereas a large volume of gas delivered to the lower 48 may initially stabilize gas prices at a lower level, bring in financial benefits. That was taken out. Page 5, line 2, they added for in-state consumption and value-added manufacture. And then on page 5, line 17, they deleted United States in the word following market, and the intention there was that our gas not be, that we're not saying it's limited to only marketing in the lower 48. And then the other thing that happened was one of the amendments that they had made, they put a phrase in the wrong place, and so they changed it, and that's the one that says for in-state consumption and value manufacturing. They moved it up a couple lines in there, kind of a drafting error. This is something we've all seen before. I think no damage has been done to it. I actually think it's been improved, and I would encourage the members' support.
Madam Majority Leader.
Well, with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution 44 and recommend that the members vote yes.
Any further discussion? Ready for the question? Question before the body is, shall the House concur and the Senate changes to committee substitute for HJR 44 resources amended, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for HJR 44 resources amended Senate and re-engrossed. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
32 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has concurred with the Senate changes, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for HJR 44 resources, amended Senate, and re-engrossed. We have no communications. Do we have reports of standing committees?
The State Affairs Committee has reviewed the qualifications of Colonel Jim Robinson and Colonel Tim Scott as Alaska Air National Guard Brigadier Generals, recommending confirm Hayes, James, Stevens, Crawford, Wilson, and Coghill. The reports were signed by Representative Coghill, Chair. Finance Committee has considered House Bill number 182, Motor Vehicle Sales and Dealers, and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 182, Finance, with a new title. Attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass. Whitaker, Lancaster, Hudson, Mulder, no recommendation. Bundy, Harris, and Williams, amend. Croft, Davies, and Moses. Report was signed by Representatives Mulder and Williams, co-chairs. HB 182 has a further referral, or has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill number 271, Cap on Aviation Accident Punitive Damages, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 271, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, attaches 2-0 fiscal notes. Recommending Dupass, Hayes, and Halcrow, no recommendation, Crawford and Murkowski, amend Rokeberg, Meyer, and Cott. Report was signed by Murkowski Chair. HB 271 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill number 408, Student Questionnaires and Surveys. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 408, tests with the same title. Recommending do pass, Cisna, Jewell, Wilson, and Stevens. Do not pass, Coghill, Coring, and Dyson. Report was signed by Dyson Chair. HB 408 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution number 31, State Affairs, tax-exempt bonds to fund veterans' loans. Recommending do pass, Wilson, Crawford, Stevens, James, Hayes, and Coghill. The report was signed by Coghill Chair. Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 31, State Affairs, has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill number 291, Rules, Supplemental Appropriations Fast Track, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 291, Finance, with the same title. Recommending do pass, Harris, Hudson, Mulder, and Williams. Do not pass, Lancaster. Amend, Whitaker, Croft, Davies, and Bundy. The report was signed by Mulder and Williams, co-chairs. CSSB 291 rules is on today's calendar. There are no further standing committee reports today, Mr. Speaker.
We have reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports today.
Introductions of resolutions or citations.
Citation in memoriam, Janice K. Leinhart, by Senator Halford, Donley, Ward, Taylor, and Cowdery. Those are all the citations or resolutions for introduction today, Mr. Speaker.
We have bills for introduction.
There are no bills for introduction today.
That brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's agenda?
House Bill number 438 by Representatives McGuire and Cott, entitled An Act Relating to Motor Vehicle Registration Plates for Disabled Veterans and Providing for an Effective Date. The House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 438 MLV with the same title, attached to fiscal note, signing do pass, Massett, Cott, Green, Murkowski, Hayes, and Chenault. Report was signed by Chenault, Chair. The State Affairs Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 438 State Affairs with the same title, attached to 0 fiscal note, signing do pass, Wilson, Stevens, James, Fate, and Coghill, and report was signed by Coghill Chair. The Finance Committee waived the bill. There are two committee substitutes.
Representative James.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the State Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill 438 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have that committee substitute before us. Do we have amendments?
There are no amendments, Mr. Speaker.
And a majority leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 438 State Affairs be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we are in third reading. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 438 State Affairs, an act relating to motor vehicle registration plates for disabled veterans and providing for an effective date.
Discussion. Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's an honor for me to present House Bill 438 today on behalf of the disabled veterans here in Alaska. This body has repeatedly honored our veterans in the state. We have one of the higher numbers per capita of veterans of any state. We have 72,000 of them. here in Alaska. And this bill would honor a portion of those veterans that we hold dear, and those are our disabled veterans, which to date number 27,000 veterans, Mr. Speaker. It honor them by creating a special license plate, a red, white, and blue plate that would designate them as a disabled veteran who had served our country. And I'm going to leave it at that, Mr. Speaker. I think it's self-explanatory. It's a way to honor our veterans, which are a very proud group of Alaskans who have become disabled while serving our nation. And I think it's a small act that this legislature can take in honoring them. And I would urge the member's support. Thank you.
Representative McGuire, any other discussion? Privities. To order. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'm rising in support of this bill. I hope it bodes well for other veterans legislation, which seems to be penned up, and I look forward to the opportunity of voting on a Pioneer and Veterans Home and a renter's rebate for disabled veterans in the near future.
Extending the latitude that we always have. Any other discussion on this bill? Seeing none, are we ready for the question? Question before the body. Is Shell Committee Substitute for HB 438 State Affairs. Pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member, Representative Davies? Now would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
35 yeas, 0 nays.
So committee substitute for HB 438 State Affairs has passed the House. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Would the clerk please read the next item?
House Bill number 444 by Representative James, entitled An Act Relating to Buildings Covered under the Alaska Public Building Fund and Providing for an Effective Date. The State Affairs Committee considered the bill, attached a zero fiscal note, signing Ducasse, Wilson, Crawford, Stevens, James, Fate, Hayes, and Coghill. The report was signed by Coghill Chair. There are no amendments, Mr. Speaker.
Adams, Majority Leader. Without objection, the bill is in third reading. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
House Bill number 444, an act relating to buildings covered under the Alaska Public Building Fund and providing for an effective date.
Discussion, Madam Majority Leader.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a pleasure for me to bring this bill before the House today. For those who were not here 2 years ago, we had the original piece of legislation, which is currently being partially repealed today. This started out being a real good exercise to try to determine as to whether or not we would be able to accumulate some funds for ongoing maintenance of public facilities. This is an issue I've been working here in this House now for 10 years now to be able to solve the problem of the deferred maintenance. And deferred maintenance is a result of no maintenance, and that's the issue that is covered in this. Certainly the amount of money that we put in by rentals from these various different buildings into this fund does include some money for depreciation, and that's only enough money really to keep things from deteriorating. It doesn't cover the deferred maintenance, which there's a lot of in these existing buildings. This has been a success over the last 2 years, and I've traveled around and looked at these buildings, and they're doing very well. And what we're doing now is, this is limited to this list of buildings that was in the original bill, which is in your packet. And so now the department feels that they are ready to accept other buildings to do and manage the same way. I might, for those people who weren't aware, that the advantage really of doing it in this method was to be allowing us to charge rent to other folks that are in these buildings besides those that are by state agencies, such as the retirement and such as any federal offices that were there. And we were precluded by law to not charge rent for anyone else if we're not charging rent for ourselves. So we established a rent base which included some money for the depreciation and allowed us then to collect this money from other entities, which actually gave us a positive fiscal note in that first year. So that's been working fine, and as everyone knows, that most of the buildings in our state have been managed by Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, and gradually as they can transfer those over to the Department of Administration, this will fall into effect and they'll be able to start taking rents from those places too. There's another advantage, however, of having them pay rent by their space. We went into a lot of state buildings where it looks to me like they have a lot of floor space, Mr. Speaker, and I think if they have to allocate their funds on a per square foot for their rent, they might consider they might be able to get by in smaller space and be able to utilize that money more effectively for the programs that they're trying to do. So this has several advantages. It's a very simple bill for on its face, but it's a very important bill, and I would urge everyone to vote yes.
Representative Lancaster.
I'd also like to compliment the Majority Leader for putting that bill in a couple of years ago, even though I wasn't here. But having had a chance to work with the department since I have been here, and particularly the young lady in the gallery over there, Chris Parst, and compliment her and her staff and the job they do in keeping things from falling completely apart and going as best she can with the funds she has to work with. I think her and her staff have done a tremendous job.
Thank you, Representative Lancaster. Any other discussion? Ready for the question. Question for the body is shall HB 444 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so HB 444 has passed the House. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Would the clerk please read the next item?
We do not have possession of House Bill 504, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Coghill.
We have a brief of these.
Brief of these. Would the clerk please read the next item?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 291 rules by the Senate Rules Committee entitled An Act Making Supplemental and Other Appropriations, Amending Appropriations, and Providing for an Effective Date. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for a Committee substitute for Senate Bill 291 Finance with the same title. Recommending do pass Harris, Hudson, Mulder, and Williams. Do not pass Lancaster. Amend Whitaker, Croft, Davies, and Bundy. The report was signed by Mulder and Williams, co-chairs. There's one committee, House Committee substitute, Mr. Speaker.
Before we adopt the Senate or the committee substitute for the information of the body, the next bill on the agenda was 504. The House does not have possession of 504, and that's why it's not being considered at this time. Representative James.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Finance Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 291 rules with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, that committee substitute is before us. Do we have amendments?
Amendment number one by Representatives Scalzi, Lancaster, Stevens, Bundy, Chenault, and Coring, beginning page 3, lines 23 through 30.
Representative Scalzi.
Amendment number one.
There's objection, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. what this amendment does is virtually take out the $2 million in general funds that is currently appropriated in this piece of legislation to the Alaska tourism industry. If you look at the sponsor synopsis statement, the second sentence says that this appropriation is for several important state functions that may have been hampered by waiting for the final budget to pass the next month. And I would argue that this particular item, as you look down, is not a state function. $2 million in general funds to the Alaska Tourism Industry Association, requiring a $1 million match from the association to encourage tourists to overcome travel concerns and visit Alaska. While it may be noble, it may be a good idea in any other circumstance, I don't believe it meets the criteria of the supplemental budget. I would also argue that we have had a lot of other industries impacted by 911. I know that the halibut price dropped 50 cents a pound right after 9-1-1 because of the transportation costs, the transportation delays, and people not going out to restaurants. But yet when the appropriation came up for ASME, I didn't support that. I think that we have to be clear in the criteria that we develop for utilizing appropriate funds for what they are made for. And certainly in the supplemental, I don't think this fits the bill, Mr. Speaker. So I appreciate the consideration of this amendment. Thank you.
James Galsey. Representative Lancaster.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to associate myself with remarks made by the member for Homer as well. I too am afraid and concerned that if we start to bail out or additionally fund industry across the board, that there'll be no end. The door will just be open, and there'll be no way to stop it. So I'd urge the members to vote for the amendment.
Representative Lancaster. Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment. Mr. Speaker, first to answer the question about state functions. I don't know, Mr. Speaker, how long the state has, in fact, been supporting advertising, promoting tourism development in the state, but it's been long before my tenure here that we've had an active program. And I would suggest that if my colleagues look around to other states, every other state has tourism promotion as a state function. So I would certainly consider tourism promotion as a legitimate state function. Beyond that, especially when you consider the fact, Mr. Speaker, that while we as a state do not necessarily derive a lot of direct revenue from tourists, local governments derive a vast majority of their, in some communities, the vast majority, particularly in Southeast, of their revenue from tourists. So it is a vital part of our economy that we have to be very, very concerned with. I was greatly relieved, Mr. Speaker, to read the paper the other day saying that it appears that the overall or the general numbers for tourism is coming back to the state of Alaska for this coming year. So that's great news. But it also said that we're still 13% below on average. Now, if you read in the fine print there, Mr. Speaker, not all of the sectors or the parts of the industry are healthy. It looks like some of the areas are still in the 30 and 40% drop-off rate. I think the Southeast here is looking a little better, but I think in the interior it's still looking quite bleak. And Mr. Speaker, we need to be able to respond to those problems that we have. Now, if you recognize or look at this, the time frame on this provision allows for them to utilize the funds from whenever it is appropriated to the end of next year. Mr. Speaker, we acted on this several months ago. The other body, it has labored over there. They've not been able to work it through, even though I think they had the vast majority of the members supporting it. Mr. Speaker, I recognize the fact that the amount we sent over before, this is dramatically less than the amount we sent over there in the past. That recognizes the fact that they can't get what they need to get done in the short time frame. This allows them to be able to take the funds and have a well-coordinated campaign to try and recover from those events. Now, 13% down may not seem like a lot, but Mr. Speaker, we're talking well over 1,000 jobs at 13%. Over 1,000 jobs. That's pretty dramatic in a state of our size, Mr. Speaker. That's a considerable economic downturn. In any other industry, if that were the oil industry, we'd be up in arms going, oh my goodness, we've got to do something. This is terrible. So, Mr. Speaker, I think this is a reasonable amount. It will allow for them to have a well-coordinated, well-orchestrated campaign throughout the course of the coming year. The other thing that's provided for within this bill is the fact that there is a 30% match from the industry for it. I think that's appropriate. If we're going to put up some public funds, there needs to be private funds put forward to help make that match so that we all have skin in this game. I would urge members to vote no on this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Mulder. Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment and would like to associate myself with the remarks of the co-chair of finance. I also, it's a little bit out of order on the amendment. I mean, it's appropriate on the amendment, but it's also on the whole bill to comment that I appreciate the co-chairs bringing this to us as quickly as he did. This is supposedly the fast-track supplemental. It did languish in the other body for quite some time, and that has caused some of the problems that are referred to in this section of the bill that's being attempted to be removed here. But having said that, Mr. Speaker, I also want to just comment on the reasons for the amendment that are before us. To characterize this as a bailout, as I've said before, I think is a total mischaracterization of the situation. this was essentially a drive-by shooting. This was not a situation where this industry didn't plan for reasonable economic circumstances or things that they could have foreseen. Nobody expected something as horrendous and as dramatic as the events of September 11th. And so, Mr. Speaker, to characterize this as a bailout just has the wrong connotations. This is an industry that we've been working with that's been growing at a fairly high rate, in which I think it's appropriate for the state to support. I also think it's appropriate for the state to have some revenue that comes in that reasonably reflects their economic activity, but that's another story. I also want to reflect, Mr. Speaker, that the industry, when they first came to us, was asking for $12 million. When this bill left this House, we had put $6 million in it. The amount is now down to $2 million. I think that this is certainly a reasonable amount, and an amount that they will, under the terms of this, can expend over the course essentially of the next year. And I think it will have the effect of helping to restore this industry from an impact where this industry was the one. While there have been impacts from 911 to other industries, this is the industry that has been most directly and substantially impacted, I believe. So I think it's appropriate that we spend this money, so I speak against the amendment to keep it in the bill. Thank you.
Representative Davies. Representative Wilson, and then James.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to make comments on what the speaker from the Finance Subcommittee made. I am concerned that we are looking at something for private industry when we're supposed to be really figuring out how we're going to meet the needs that our state has right now. And he made the comment that maybe Southeast was picking up, but the Anchorage area and Mat-Su area weren't. And it might be much more appropriate to fully fund the Alaska Marine Highway System then, for that is a state entity, number one. And number two, we must remember that 50% of those passengers, their main destination is Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Mat-Su. Thank you.
Hey, Wilson. Madam Majority Leader.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to stand up here and oppose this amendment for several reasons. And I had a visitor in my office just a day or so ago from the Denali area. He is a campground owner, a very nice fellow. And I asked him specifically what is happening with him. And he says all through that area, their reservations are just way, way down, not just a little, but a lot. And certainly, we've seen over the last few years that tourism has been a big contributor to the economic activities that we've had in the area. And it is true, as has been said before, that the municipalities do get a lot of their revenues from sales taxes and other bed taxes and so forth from the tourist industry. It is true that we need to figure out our fiscal issue and how we're going to pay for state government. And it is true that we need to watch every penny that we spend. Some pennies will make us money, and some pennies may cost us some money, and we have to evaluate that whole system as well. But if we don't have anybody out there making any money, Mr. Speaker, there will be nobody to pay any taxes, and we know taxes are coming. So it's the people who are not able to work are also going to leave town, and we've had that experience already, where most of our 18 to 44-year-olds have been leaving town. So this is one of those issues that is controversial. I understand that because there's a lot of needs around the state. I wish we could write a check for every need that there was around the state, and maybe sometime in the near future, if we can figure out how to manage ourselves responsibly, we can get there. But today is the only day that we can make our decision on this issue. And even though this is a small cry from whatever it is that they had asked for us in the first place, I believe this is a token of our good faith to let them know that we do care for them because they are an important part of our economy. So I would urge everyone to vote against this amendment because I believe it is a good thing for us to do and to give the message to those people out there who are going to be struggling that we're trying to help them.
Thank you, Representative James. Representative Valcro, and then Curtula, and then Sisson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of this amendment. You know, Mr. Speaker, there are a few things that I know very well in my life, and one of them is tourism. I have been in the tourism industry my entire life. I am a dues-paying member of ATIA, the organization that stands to benefit from this $2 million appropriation. And I myself, as a tourism employee and as a member, a dues-paying member of ATIA, cannot support a $2 million appropriation at this time for a number of reasons. And I'd like to address some of the reasons or concerns that have been voiced by opponents of this amendment. Looking at tourism, you have to go back a very long time. In 1989, the state of Alaska spent almost $17 million marketing the state of Alaska, $17 million. Then as we entered the 90s, certainly we're all very much aware of the budget austerity that, that we've maintained the last 10 years. Our tourism, our annual tourism funding has gone from $17 million last year down to $4.7 million. A couple of years ago, the tourism industry, realizing that this consistent decline in tourism dollars needed to be readdressed, reorganized under the moniker of ATIA, where the legislature mandated that they go out and get a percentage of private industry match. And the legislature every year would decrease their amount as the private industry contribution increased. And that has been good. The state does have a role in marketing the state. If we hope to grow this state, we need to grow the tourism industry. But there's one problem. We don't have a mechanism to pay for it. You heard some members stand and talk about other states. The co-chair of finance stood up and talked about other states have a role in tourism marketing, and I would agree. But look at how other states pay for their tourism. The state of Hawaii spends $61 million a year marketing the wonders of visiting Hawaii because they generate $960 million a year in tourism taxes that go to pay for roads and schools and the essential services that government provides. The city of Las Vegas, Mr. Speaker, $45 million a year marketing Las Vegas. Why? They generate $148 million a year in room taxes. The state of Alaska spends $4.7 million and generates nothing. In the city of Anchorage, they generate $15.2 million a year between the hotel, motel, bed tax, and the car rental tax. $15 million a year. Where's their contribution? Where's their effort to help with this emergency marketing money? I don't see it. So yet, once again, the state, as we've been doing for the last 40-plus years, is stepping in and writing the check and getting nothing in return. And then we're turning around to our constituents and saying, by the way, we're running out of money. We're going to need to talk to you about taxes. We're going to need to talk to you about capping the permanent fund or decreasing services. So it seems to me there's a little bit of a disconnect with regards to funding tourism in this building. The comment was made when I asked the question of why this was being done. The question was answered that we short funded. Well, we short funded tourism $500,000 in the FY03 budget that just passed out of the House. Well, we short funded a lot of agencies and departments. Short funded parks. We failed to give any money to the university, who's looking at $6 million increase in salaries. So if your argument is, hey, you know, we owe them $500,000, we owe a lot of people. But the fact is, we're in a different year, and we need to start thinking differently. And if somebody in the industry, such as myself, can stand on this floor and say, I've got to look in the faces of my tourism friends that come into my office and tell them, I can't help you this year. There shouldn't be anybody on this floor that shouldn't be able to do the same thing. Mr. Speaker, on December 1st, when the ATIA went around and gathered all this information about how bad the summer was going to be, the first thing I said was, it's way too early. September 11th was just 3 months prior. People weren't going to travel. They were scared. In the last 4 months, I've been in three major airports, Chicago, Seattle, Honolulu. Mr. Speaker, you could barely move in these airports. People are out there traveling and taking family vacations. They're going to be here this summer. That's what I've always said. And sure enough, day before yesterday, in the local paper, headline article, tourism outlook grows brighter. Yes, some segments are down, and some segments will always be down because tourism on the whole is changing. We're not the same market we were 10, 15 years ago, Mr. Speaker. 10 years ago, people would spend $1,800 a piece to take a cruise ship to Alaska. Now they can get on for $400 or $500. These aren't the same people that are going to get off in Juneau and take an $800 raft trip. The market is changing. In this state, Mr. Speaker, we are comprised, the tourism industry is comprised of a majority of small and medium-sized business. Companies that will never be able to afford a nationwide or global marketing program. So the state does have a role. But before we take steps like this, And bear in mind, Mr. Speaker, we're already giving them over $4 million in the normal FY03 appropriation. Before we take a step like this and step up and give them $2 million, as I said, in a year, where we're telling our constituents that we're going to have to talk to them about taxes and capping permanent funds to finally pay for government, we're going to give a $2 million appropriation to an industry that doesn't generate anything back to the general fund. We should think about that. You know, one of my colleagues mentioned that this is not a bailout. It was a drive-by shooting. In one committee, I remember when the original appropriation, the $6 million, was being discussed, there was some discussion about, well, you know, this is like disaster relief. Mr. Speaker, do we give communities money before there's a flood? Do we issue disaster relief before a disaster happens? And the fact of the matter is, our numbers are rising in the industry. People will be here this summer. The hotels will be full. Cars will be on the streets. People will be spending money in this economy. There is absolutely no reason at a time when we are talking to the people of this state about the seriousness of the fiscal situation that this state finds itself in to be handing out $2 million of hard-earned general fund dollars for effects that we haven't even realized yet. 1,000 jobs lost? Where are these 1,000 jobs going to come from? If tourism is if this money, which is arguably to help small and medium-sized mom-and-pop companies, where are the 1,000 people going to lose their jobs? You know, it's just, I mean, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense at this point in time. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense that this was put back in clearly after the tide has changed. 2 months ago, when this appropriation was on the floor, Mr. Speaker, I was absent. I had an excused doctor's appointment. But it's no secret that since then I've been on record as opposing the original $6 million appropriation, and I'm being consistent in opposing the $2 million because I don't think it's necessary. It's April 11th today. In 2 months, tourists will start to stream into this state. Even talking to people in the industry, Mr. Speaker, they find it very hard to understand how ATIA is going to spend this $2 million in the next 60 days to have any appreciable impact. Mr. Speaker, I think, given the conversations that have been happening in this building the last 90 days, I think this is the wrong move to make. I think it is the wrong signal to send to our constituents. And as somebody in the tourism industry who would directly benefit from this, I say I cannot support it. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Representative Cotullo, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to oppose the amendment, and I have agreed with my constituents who have pointed out that perhaps the amount should have been reduced. This is a reduced amount. But, you know, the tide hasn't changed for all of our businesses, and the tide is carrying out with it some of our smaller, more locally based businesses. I agree that the picture has turned around for the larger industry, but, you know, it's the tiny ones that are hurting. We have small businesses in Juneau that are shaking and going under right now. So I think that this small an amount of money based at getting the independent traveler, which really is who's going to hit because those are the ones who are going to make their decisions later, is really a good benefit to the small Alaskan-based community-type businesses that this will support. So at this moment, I'm going to support it. I didn't support the overall picture of going to a private entity to run tourism in Alaska. I still think that's a mistake. But I do think that our smaller Alaskan businesses are the ones who were truly hurt by the disaster. And for that reason, I'm going to vote against the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cotullo. I have next Representative Cisna, and then Bundy and Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have the will. I wish to vote for, in fact, the supplemental appropriation to the private business that it's really a collaboration between ourselves and the private industry at this point. And that's what I want to do. But when we voted to set that program up several years ago, my concern was the commitment and the invitation to really, truly build our local, our state businesses. I think cruise ships have plenty of money. I think other outside entities that profit from tourism in Alaska make their own money in their own way, and we're not responsible for them. But our, as the speaker from Juneau mentioned, our own local people are really up against it, and they're too small, really, to do a national campaign. And we really need to, as a state, help them the same way we help fisheries on occasion, the same way that we make sure our marine highway is up to snuff. But then the person who from Sand Lake who spoke to this whole issue mentioned some points that were pretty compelling. And I guess the thing that I would like to get is someone from the Finance Committee, someone who really can help the ongoing responsibility and accountability for this, to tell me that this money really will focus on our Alaskan businesses that cater to the independent traveler, because that's what they do cater to. And my vote will really be dependent upon that. Thank you.
Representative Sisna. Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. Having said that, I have all good wishes for our tourism industry. They are making a significant contribution toward what we in Alaska know we need to do, and that is to diversify our economy. And I wish them well, and I appreciate their contributions. However, in light of today's fiscal challenge, I have to ask myself two questions. Is it wise to spend additional money at this time? And the second question, if I had another $2 million to spend, would this be the best use of that money? Unfortunately, the answer is no to both those questions, and so I'll support the amendment.
Representative Bundy. Representative Hudson.
Mr. Speaker, I'm rising to declare a conflict of interest. I have a daughter that works and would be directly affected either by the amendment or the bill.
There's objection, but thank you for the revelation. Representative Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We know that the 9/11 incident will have a negative effect on the tourism industry in Alaska. We don't know to what degree, and we just don't know. But we do know that there will be an effect, and it won't be a positive effect. We know, too, that we often do things to avert disasters before they happen, and if we don't, we probably should. And so as we ponder spending $2 million and think to ourselves, could that help divert an economic downturn, we should probably consider that for the tourism sector, that's not a bad decision for us to make. And so as we, in our collective wisdom make that determination, I think it's okay to say, you know, there might be a disaster, and we can spend a couple million bucks, and we can avert that disaster. I'm okay with that. That's one point in the argument. Another point in the argument is that, you know, we really do have a responsibility to grow our economy, because we know that ultimately there will be a connection between our economy and states' revenues. And as the majority leader said, what if we get to the connection point, the nexus between our economy and states' revenues, and there's no economy? That's like saying, well, I'm going to have a party, and then nobody shows up. Now, that has happened to me a time or two, and I really don't want that to happen again. And so while we deal with the fiscal challenge that we have, and it's real, we shouldn't forget that there is a solution to the fiscal challenge, and we know that part of that solution is going to be a connection between the state's economy and state's revenue. That when we get there, we've got to have something to take from. And so we shouldn't forget that while we are trying to get there, we must continuously build that basis. And now, Mr. Speaker, a final point. All of us were elected to be statesmen or women. I suppose the term these days is statespeople. I wasn't elected to be a region person or a region man. I was not elected to be a district man, but rather a statesman. And so as we look at our economy, we consider the various sectors, fishing, mining, oil, logging, et cetera, tourism. If any of those sectors, no matter how it might affect our particular district or our particular region, is in trouble, then it is our obligation to consider that which we can do. I think the addition of this $2 million is a display of our opportunity and our obligation to be statespeople, to recognize that there are regions that will be affected more than others, but that the state as a whole has an economy that must continue to grow. I speak against the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Whitaker, Representative Roper.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Earlier this year, I stood in this floor with, in this room with all of us, and we had to make a decision about a $6 million appropriation on the same issue. I supported that because I've always had a fondness in my heart for the travel industry. And I dare say that I am a true spokesman, I believe, for the free enterprise system in business. Matter of fact, I've been accused of trying to promote corporate welfare occasionally. But, Mr. Speaker, I think that the arguments we heard at the time were pretty compelling, particularly in the shock waves of 9/11. So I voted in the affirmative early on this year. But, Mr. Speaker, subsequently we became aware of statistics that indicated that the bookings and the level of reservations for this particular season had been rebounding pretty substantially. And, Mr. Speaker, I felt like a certain sense of betrayal, and almost like if you're inside of a bargaining arrangement, you got schnookered. And I don't like to be schnookered. But I'm also a businessman, and I realize that circumstances and conditions change. And I think that they did change here. And therefore, I'm torn between my natural proclivities on the one hand and the realities on the other. Also, Mr. Speaker, I'm concerned about whether we made as a legislature a bargain with the travel industry a few years back where we agreed to fund those contracts, or our contract with them, if you will. They agreed to make private sector contributions along with the state. It's like my member, like the member from Ketchikan is occasionally reminding us, Mr. Speaker, a deal's a deal, and a deal's a deal. So are we breaching the deal by not funding it in the FY03? Furthermore, Mr. Speaker, I think there's an issue here whether it's too late in the year. Is it too late to fund, utilize this money? I think it is too late. Matter of fact, I saw that great kind of golden and red De Havilland Beaver ad the other night that we do from the tourist industry, and it had underneath it, it was an RSA from GCI. I want to thank GCI for getting behind the tourist industry and providing free media time for them to invite our friends and neighbors up here. But maybe it's too early. Is it too early? If we provide the money now, then they have an opportunity this coming year to be able to put together a more reasonable, rational program. But, Mr. Speaker, in the final analysis, if this had been $500,000 to keep our deal and our agreement with the industry, I could support it. But it's not too early, it's not too late, it's just too much.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate the previous speaker speaking to the timing of this, because I too did support the initial appropriation, or the $6 million, because I believed that at that time, if we could get the funds to them quickly enough, and I think the House acted in a very expedited manner to address that. And as things have happened in the process that didn't happen, and as the speaker has indicated, new information has come available. So I think it is important that we look at what it is that we will be providing at this time with these dollars. And I'm looking at it and saying, well, it might be a very short-term fix to get through this next season. But it doesn't do anybody any good to get through this next season because the time has run out for this next season. So we're either going to be realistic and say this will help them for the following tourist season, but I think to say that we're going to make an impact this year and we're going to keep businesses in business that would otherwise not receive this money, I don't think that that's being honest with ourselves. Another concern that I have, in addition to the timing component, and the gentleman next to me posed the question, is this the best use of this $2 million? And we recognize that we have some issues with our funding situation here in the state of Alaska. I don't think any of us in this House felt that everything that we sent over in the budget was the way that we wanted it. I'm concerned that we're going to woo these tourists up to Alaska this summer, and they're going to see the closed campgrounds, and they're going to perhaps not be able to get the bookings on the ferry that they had hoped to get, and they're going to say, this is the last time I'm coming to Alaska. We've got some other things that I think we need to be looking to and making sure that when the tourists do come, they come back, and they come back for years to come. So it's a good long-term investment for us rather than a short-term fix. Unfortunately, I will be supporting the amendment, and I do say unfortunately, because I do support the tourism industry. I do support what they do, but I think it's important that we need to look at where we're putting our money now.
Representative Murkowski. Representative Lancaster.
I forgot to mention when I spoke earlier that I had a staffer about a week ago call around to the different tourism industries on the peninsula from Homer to Seward, and about at that time frame, they were within 10 to 15% of last year's bookings, and the bookings were starting to pick up even as we spoke. So I think the industry, at least on the peninsula, is doing well.
Representative Lancaster. Representative Scalzi, and wrap up.
Wrap up. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to reiterate, to cover Medicaid expenses, provide health care for low-income Alaskans, power cost equalization endowment, the state's transportation and security system, ferry system to cover unexpected high fuel costs, and fire damage. Somehow, tourism does not quite fit the same categories as those. The previous speaker spoke of the budget we passed out of here a little while back. It was a budget that I wasn't fully happy with, as I think most of us were. There were things that we didn't put in there. There was not enough money for tourism. There was not enough money for education. There was not enough money for a lot of things. But I voted for that budget in the guise that we are going to attain the public trust, that we will cut the budget, we will keep a tight rein on government until we develop a fiscal plan. That's the promise, and that's a commitment I think a lot of us have made, are making, continue to make. That's the overall objective for the benefits of the state. In passing this amendment, we will be keeping our commitment to the state of Alaska, the people that we are trying to convince that we are holding the line, that this tourism appropriation comes second to all those other things that we're trying to convince the public to get behind us. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Ready for the question. Question before the body is the passage of Amendment Number 1. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Hayes? Yea or nay? Representative Coring? Coring, no to yes. Representative Davies? Any other members wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
20 yeas, 16 nays.
And so Amendment Number 1 passes the House. For the information of the body, the page references on the Amendments 2 and 3 are incorrect. The clerk will read the right page reference, the correct page references, so you can correct your amendment as they are read. Madam Clerk.
Amendment number 2 by Representative Croft, beginning page 7, following line 3, insert a new subsection.
Representative Croft.
Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the correction. I'll move amendment number 2.
There is objection. Representative Croft.
We one of the deficiencies, I believe most of us, I know a lot of us, thought in the budget that we passed out was in the funding for the University of Alaska. We have done a great job over the last 3 or 4 years revitalizing that agency, that very important arm of state government. We didn't do a very good job this year, and in fact, President Hamilton, who's recovering nicely, by the way, Mr. Speaker, characterizes it as we've done 3 steps forward and 2 steps back, and that's almost exactly right in terms of the money. This year we would be sending them 2 steps back. We essentially sent them a flat-funded budget, but with the contract increases that are mandatory when we approve them, they don't have any choices to do them because we've put in our budget that they are approved, and some of the other fixed costs, they're really going to take some steps backward. You know, we lured students here on a promise of a revitalized university, and it's an unfortunate time to step back on that promise, to step back on that potential, that dream. This would put it back. We're going to see fewer and fewer vehicles to do this. We did not do it in the operating budget. We will have the capital budget. But the reason that I propose this amendment at this time is it's an appropriation measure, and if we don't do it soon, I'm getting more and more concerned that it's not going to get done at all. The other body hasn't finished their work, but the caps I have seen so far provide very little solace in this regard. And if we do the standard conference committee, you can't average between 2 bad numbers, if you will, and get a good one, unless we go where we have not gone before, to quote Star Trek, and into the wide open world of free conference. It is unlikely that we can, in the normal operating budget process, as we've normally done it, get a very acceptable university number. So I didn't want to let this vehicle go by without an opportunity for us to fix what I think we recognize as a problem in the budget as we sent out.
Representative Croft. Brief it is. House, please come back to order. The House, please come back to order. Representative Whitaker.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to make an amendment to amendment number 2, if I may speak to that.
I think you better tell us what the amendment is and then move it.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move that we strike 16.9 and replace it with 6 million.
6 million?
That's correct. I'd like to move that amendment to the amendment.
The amendment to the amendment for the body is to change the amount of $16,900,000 to $6 million. Is there objection? There is objection. Representative Croft.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't object. I'll take it as a friendly amendment, though, with friends like that. Who needs enemies?
Is maybe we can work something out here. Is the objection to the amendment maintained? It is not. The amendment to the amendment passes. The amendment before the body then is amendment number 2 as amended. Is there further discussion of amendment number 2? Representative Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. From time to time, we, in our collective wisdom, make decisions that affect many, many others. From time to time, we make a decision that affects an institution. We have done that with regard to the university. We have mandated that salary increases be paid. If we do not pass this amendment, then those salary increases, roughly $6 million, will have to be offset by a decrease in forward momentum for the university. I think it would be most unfortunate. This institution, which leads us to the future and provides our young people a place to go, to think, to grow, to become what all of us hope they will become, I don't want to see that go backwards. I understand this is a tough year and that we have to operate in a very fiscally frugal manner. But we cannot forget that tomorrow will come, and The university is one vehicle by which we provide a tomorrow, a future for the state of Alaska. I don't think that we're overstepping the bounds of fiscal prudence by saying we will hold you steady. And that's what this amendment does. It holds the university steady. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Ed Whitaker. Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment. Mr. Speaker, this is an ongoing process. We have the operating budget, obviously, it's passed this body. It's in the other body, and hopefully we're going to have a conference committee on it. And hopefully in the near future we can address some of these other issues. I know in the past this body has made a great statements supportive of the university. I, too, consider myself one of those who supports the university. I'm not saying no forever. I'm saying no, this is not the right time to do it, Mr. Speaker. And I would encourage my colleagues to vote no at this point in time. We will do what we can as we go through this budget process to try and hold the lid on state spending, but also at the same time provide some relief to the university. I can't guarantee how much, when, or how. It is an objective I have. I've heard from my colleagues before on this issue. But I don't think this is the right place or the right time. Thank you.
Representative Mulder. Any other discussion? Ready for the... No. Representative Sisson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Every problem that we have in this legislature and in this state will be heavily impacted by the knowledge and the skills of the people in our community. And statistically, I think we've all heard that a much larger percentage of students who attend any school will stay in that state than those who leave the state. And so if, in fact, we're going to solve the problems that we have, what we're going to have to do is have a university that's highly competitive and attracts students who will then stay. That's probably the most economical way we possibly can reach the solution of the challenges that we face and need to surmount. And so I will vote for this amendment, and I hope the rest of you will as well.
Representative Sisson, any other discussion? Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. Just wanted to share a brief. Yesterday, I had four young people come to my office from the university, and one of the individuals wanted to share with me when he graduated from high school, which was just a few years after I did, there was the same sort of impression about the university, which was, well, if you're a good student, if you're worth your salt, you'll go south. You certainly won't go to the University of Alaska. And there was a little bit of even a stigma associated with those that went to the University of Alaska. Maybe they couldn't make it or cut it. So on and so forth. And we commiserated about that. And then he described to me the change that has been occurring over the last couple of years with the increased funding that this legislature has given and provided, and certainly under the leadership of General Hamilton. The university is doing incredible things. It's attracting our students, and people in our high schools in the state are honored to go to the University of Alaska. And what that leads to, in my opinion, Mr. Speaker, is a curtailment of the brain drain that we have. I think we all know that those students that go to the university are more likely to stay in the state, to take jobs in the state, and to contribute to the economy in the future. So it's not just money for the university, but it's money for the future of the state. Thank you.
Representative Stevens.
And Mr. Speaker, I'm not rising with a conflict because I have severed all ties with the university. Through retirement, but after spending 25 years there, I'm really dedicated to the issues of education, as, of course, I know many of you are, and all of you are in this room. I have to admit I was surprised when I first came down here when I was teaching with the university to talk to the legislature years ago about salary adjustments and meeting the contracts that the university had made. I was surprised at the negativity in the legislature, say, about 10 or 12 years ago. And I was really pleased to arrive here last year to find that is not the case, that this legislature has been very supportive of the university. I think we are expecting a great deal of our university in these days. We're facing teacher shortages. We're facing nursing shortages. We're expecting more than ever from the university, and I think it's only appropriate that we pass this amendment.
Representative Stevens. Representative Rakowski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The co-chair of finance has urged us to look at this and say not now, that perhaps in the process it will be there. And I was just reminded of the words of Mr. Hamilton when he spoke at a conference in November and talks about ghosts of Alaska past and how we coin certain phraseology. And he's a word man. And he reminded us that if you look at the words not now and you read them backwards, it's won't, no. And I want us to be people that say yes, and we will, to the university.
Brevities. We're going to stand at ease for a majority caucus. Would the House please come to order? Madam Majority Leader, would you call the House?
Yes. Call the House.
Call placed on the House. While we're waiting for the call to be satisfied, it's my intention to continue the discussion of these amendments, hopefully to their conclusion, by 1:30. We've got committees starting at 1:30. If we are not completed by that time, we will come back at 5:15 this evening. Fair warning. Madam Majority Leader.
I am. Mr. Speaker, might we move back up the calendar to introduction of guests?
Without objection.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the Paratrovitz Gallery, there's a couple of 10th graders that have been working as interns in my office from Juno Douglas High School, sophomores, and I'd like to introduce them to the body today, Sarah Payne and Elzine Carotidi. Would you stand and help me give them a welcome? Way, Mr. Speaker, they've been fine workers, and I think maybe they might like to do this someday.
I'll bite my tongue. Has the call been satisfied? Foster? No. I believe it has. Well, is there any further discussion of Amendment Number 2? I'm for that. Rafe it is. Okay, this time I mean it.
Call first, Mr. Speaker.
The call's been lifted, but be that as it may, the member that is missing is doing the Speaker and the Majority Leader a favor by filling in over the noon hour in giving an address to a group downtown. With that in mind and the fact that we probably would not have gotten through in any event, we will stand in recess until 5:15. Will the House please come to order?
Call the House.
Been a call placed on the House. Stand at ease in place, please, while the call is being satisfied. Representative Croft.
Mr. Speaker, I'll lift the call.
Call has been lifted, but I would ask the members that are here to remain, please. We had under discussion Amendment Number 2, Representative Davies.
Mr. Speaker, before we get started, I wonder if we could go back up to introduction of guests.
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In both of the galleries, actually, we have a number of students from the university. From UAF, we have Brian Brubaker, he's back here. We have Pat Ivey and Chris Roberts in the back, which she's with the budget office, who was here. And Carrie, and I'm not sure how to pronounce this, Digu? Carrie? Thank you. And also, Mr. Speaker, we have, I'm told, a lot of UAF or University of Alaska, I think UAF, students online watching us on gavel to gavel. So if anybody just welcome them too, I'd appreciate that. And with that, thank you very much.
Shameless. Representative Cotillo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also under introduction of guests.
Without objection.
Thank you. On behalf of the other strong UAS supporter from Juneau and myself, I'd like to introduce Tony Pizzuto, Nisa, and I'm not going to get this right either, Alguin, Jeff Quick, Jamie Atkinson, Shannon Williams, and David Blair, who are all UAS students who are here watching us today. Thank you.
Representatives Lancaster, and then Crawford, and then Dyson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Poaching just a little bit, but not too much. Our Assembly President from the Kenai Peninsula Borough, Tim Navarre, is in the Paratovich Gallery.
Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also have a constituent here. He's the president of the student body at UAS, Mark Graves, in the Taylor Gallery. Please welcome him.
Representative Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under introduction of guests, in the Paratovich Gallery, I have a guest, Ellen Nuss. She's from my district, and she is the president of the APT Council at the University of Alaska. I appreciate if you'd all help me welcome.
Any other guests? Returning to the calendar then, we have before us Amendment number 2 as amended. Is there any other discussion? Representative Crawford, and then Crawford perhaps in wrapping.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise for a couple of purposes. One, to proudly declare a conflict, because my oldest son will be a freshman at UAF next year. I'm proud that is going to come to pass. And the reason why he's going to UAF is because of the excitement that we have generated over the last couple of years through the extra or the added money into the budget for the University of Alaska system. I don't want to do anything to stop that momentum and that excitement, and I believe that we should all vote for this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Crawford. You will be required to vote. Representative Davies.
Mr. Speaker, I also speak in favor of the amendment, but I also have to declare a conflict. What you reminded me is that my son is also going to UAF. Thank you.
I think I will give a blanket request that all of you will be required to vote. It's very hard not to have a conflict with the university system. I am an alumni, for heaven's sakes.
Any other conflicts or discussion before we have wrap-up? Representative Cotillo?
A conflict. My husband's an adjunct professor here at UAS.
There is objection. Representative Croft, or no, Representative Roper.
Mr. Speaker, I'm really troubled by this amendment. It's like deja vu all over again. I thought we just voted on this a couple of weeks ago. What we have before us here is a supplemental budget. This is the fast track supplemental. I think this amendment is really out of place and verges on being out of order. But, you know, I find it quite troublesome. We are here in the theater of politics, and I certainly wouldn't want to call anybody's motivations into question here. That's against our rules. But I'm concerned about why we're even discussing this amendment. This amendment brings forward an issue we've discussed prior. I think it's out of place. It does not belong in the supplemental budget. And as great a supporter as I am of the university, I've without fail supported them in every aspect heretofore, but I'm going to be voting no. But that vote doesn't mean that I don't really care about the future and the growth of the university.
Representative Brookberg. Representative Croft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My good friend who spoke before, I'm sure, meant no offense. I do not mean this as theater. I hope it's not. I worry that it might have, in my absence, become so, but I hope that we're voting on the merits here today. And in terms of the vote that we had before, I presume that he's speaking about the operating budget. I hope that that vote where we rejected any increase for the university and in fact saddled them with sunk costs in excess of $6 million was not the end of the matter. I mean, I take his comments to mean that, well, we voted on this once, it's done, and it should be done forever. If that was done, then we have done a disservice to the university. I was given the impression that there would be frequent opportunities to bring this up again, and here I am doing it. But I'm not doing it for theater. I'm doing it for the university. The university desperately needs it and deserves it. You know, there was, I apologize for the delay. I did have that speaking engagement that was happy to do on somewhat short notice for the majority leader. And but when I left, there were a lot of, there was a lot of enthusiasm on this floor for supporting the university. There were a lot of people proudly standing up and talking about the reasons why they think this is a good idea. There were a lot of determined, and you said yourself, Mr. Speaker, that it's hard not to have a conflict with the university. I think that's because it touches so many of our lives. I know that is why. It touches it economically, but also I took a course just last fall in Alaska history, fascinating, at UAS. And of course, my father's president of the Board of Regents. There's all kinds of different people that have connections, academic, economic, past, present, and some that are talking about future. So when I left, there were a lot of determined Nanooks and sea wolves and whales. I didn't know that the UAS was the whales until I... there were a lot of people talking about that enthusiasm in that direction. And I worry that something has happened. I hope it wasn't my fault for being absent, but that in the process of this delay we've had, those determined, energetic Nanooks and sea wolves and whales, I hope they have not turned into trained seals.
Further discussion? Representative Malcolm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hesitate to rise. I always love to say that. But my friend and colleague from District 11 brought up an interesting point, saying this seems like deja vu all over again. That's funny. I thought the tourism money was deja vu all over again. I thought we had already addressed that, but I guess, as my dad always says, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, some of us do not sit on the Finance Committee. As a matter of fact, by my count, there are 29 of us that do not sit on the Finance Committee. Therefore, there are 29 of us who did not see the operating budget, did not see the supplemental budget come through any committees that we sit on. So this is our only opportunity. So the question of whether or not this is the appropriate vehicle for this amendment depends on your perspective. Have I had an opportunity to look and add my input? No. Have I had an opportunity to propose an amendment in committee? No. So this is really the opportunity. And regardless of where you stand on this issue, you know, this is one that's been debated in the 4 years I've been here constantly. And, you know, I think the break we took was good because, it allows for us to clear our minds, calm our senses, and I think that that's good for all of us. During the break, I had a constituent that popped into my office who was down for a conference, and I'd never met her before, and she popped into my office. We started talking about state funding, education. Her kids go to an elementary school in my district, talked about growing the economy and jobs. And it occurred to me at that point in time, we both shared the same common thought, that we as legislators certainly need to do what we can to grow this state. And I think a number of us, including the member from Fairbanks who proposed this amendment, recognize this. You know, I mean, to some degree, I think the argument is, well, you know, what do we do with the process, and do we upset this guy or do we upset that guy? You know, this is a vote I think we all need to take on its merits. And to be perfectly honest with you, Mr. Speaker, this is the only train leaving the station, so those of us that want to get on it need to get on it. I am the member, as the member from District 11 referenced the previous $6 million amendment to the operating budget. I proposed that. It failed. And I would be a hypocrite if I didn't support this. I think it's an appropriate source of funds. This is $6 million to cover the cost of contracts, once again, contracts that have already been signed, a commitment that's already been made to university faculty members. And when I stood on this floor last month and proposed an amendment just similar to this, I reminded members that just 6 weeks earlier, there were 25 members who sat on this floor and voted for a $6 million appropriation to private industry. And now we're talking about $6 million for the university, for a commitment. You know, even the staunchest conservative Republican would admit that government's role is to do what the people cannot do. Private industry can fund private industry functions. People, private citizens, my constituent, like the woman who visited me today, can't write a check for $6 million to the university.
Ready for the question? Question before the body is the passage of Amendment Number 2 as amended. Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or vote? Representative Whitaker. Representative Whitaker, yea or nay? Any other member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
17 yeas, 19 nays.
So Amendment Number 2 as amended fails to pass the House. Would the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 3 by Representative Croft should read, beginning page 3, line 10, page 3, line 11, after 4, and page 3, line 13, after June 30, 2002, through line 17, delete all material.
Representative Croft.
Withdraw Amendment Number 3, Mr. Speaker.
Amendment Number 3 has been withdrawn. Madam Clerk.
Amendment Number 4 by Representative Halcrow, beginning page 3, lines 28 through 30.
Representative Halcrow.
Mr. Speaker, I remove Amendment Number 4.
Amendment Number 4 has been withdrawn. Madam Clerk.
Amendment Number 5 by Representative Davies, beginning page 3, line 6, following safety.
Representative Davies.
Mr. Speaker, I move Number 5.
There is objection. Representative Davies.
I'm shocked. Mr. Speaker, Amendment Number 5 actually covers three separate appropriation items, $288,200 for the Department of Public Safety, $66,900 for Department of Transportation for the Valdez Airport security, and $42,200 for DOT for the highway waste station near Fox, Alaska. And the reason why these are all on one amendment, Mr. Speaker, is because they all have to do with the Homeland Security issue. They were all costs that were incurred and expended as a result of the 9/11 situation, where we had, you know, the FBI, the Tom Ridge, and a variety of other people saying that we needed to take some action. These were actions that were taken in consultation with the leadership in the legislature. And they're all monies that have been expended. This isn't something prospective. This is something that's in the past that where the departments have expended the money. $288,200 for Department of Public Safety has to do with the Yukon River checkpoint. That checkpoint was discontinued as of April 6th, but for the time when it was in place, it cost the Department of Public Safety this amount of money that they have not been compensated for. Similarly, the $66,900 was for increased security around the Valdez Airport. This is money like a perimeter fence and some other checkpoint and other safety-related issues that DOT took to secure the airport in Valdez, again, in direct response to the concerns on 9/11. The last one is the $42,000 at the Fox Way Station. This is where first way station that's on the direct haul road to the North Slope, and what they were checking for, the reason why they had the increased inspections was to look for hazardous materials. So they had much closer scrutiny of all the loads going to the North Slope to make sure that there weren't certain kinds of explosives or other things on the that weren't on the way bills. So, Mr. Speaker, I think that these are all legitimate costs that DOT and the Department of Public Safety